Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Democrat in office 2013. We knew him when he served in the House. He said he'd be on with us and as a senator, and he has kept his word. And thank you for doing that, Senator.
Yeah, great to be back with you.
Let's talk Singapore. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's potentially a disaster in the making, given what a terrible negotiator this guy is. He basically gave up one of the most important gives we have, these very important military exercises that we do with South Koreans and others in the theater. He got nothing in return. At the very least, he should have been asking for the process to begin by which the North Koreans identify the scope of their nuclear program that allows you to get your hands wrapped around what it would take to denuclearize. And you can argue that the North Koreans actually walked back their previous commitments. The language in this communique on denuclearizing the peninsula is actually weaker language than they have approved before. And of course, they didn't live up to those agreements either. And I think you have to just also put it in context. You know, 2 days before, he was savaging our, you know, most important allies, Canada and the Europeans. And, you know, taken all together, it sends this, you know, very chilling message to anybody who might be thinking about signing up with the United States in the future, that your friends get treated like garbage and your mortal enemies get photo ops without any hint of reform. Remember, as much as the Republicans, you know, beat up President Obama for talking to the Iranians, he never did a splashy, syrupy photo op with the Supreme Leader. He never said that the Supreme Leader was an honorable guy to his face like Trump did. You know, this is something different and I think has, you know, potentially far-reaching consequences.
And Chris Murphy, the Republicans, had this been Obama, would have moved to impeach him, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine President Obama saying the things that Trump said about Kim Jong-un to the face of the Ayatollah, the Supreme Leader of Iran? I mean, the montage of all of the wonderful things that Trump said about Kim. I trust him. He's honorable. He's a great negotiator.
He cares about his people.
Cares about his people, right? I mean, you know, I mean, if Obama said one of those things, obviously there's a pretty unfortunate double standard.
Some people are comparing the Iran deal to this deal and saying that we, who may be more liberal, are hypocrites because we've been defending Obama all this time.
Yeah, but Obama isn't Donald Trump. I'm fine with saying that I trust Barack Obama to go into a complicated negotiation with an adversary, and I don't trust Donald Trump to do that, who proudly said he wasn't going to learn anything about the North Koreans and just wing it. And, you know, of course, as I said, the context is different. You know, Obama went into those negotiations with our allies. Trump's going in by himself as he's literally poking our allies in the eye. So this is not apples to apples. This is apples to oranges. Now, I will say, you know, as Winston Churchill, you know, famously said, right, jaw-jaw is better than war-war. So I'm fine with the fact that we're not shooting at the North Koreans. You know, this ultimately in the long run could, you know, make the country less safe and, you know, maybe assures that the family, the Kim family, is going to be there for a long time given this domestic gift he got.
Let me talk to you about, as long as we've referenced it, the Iran nuclear deal. You know, you're in a position in the United States Senate to see what the implications are. Can the Europeans, the democracies, make it work?
It'd probably be very hard for Europe to hold Iran to this deal without the United States, in large part because the United States has announced that they are going to impose secondary sanctions on European countries, meaning that if European businesses do business with Iran, then the United States is going to impose sanctions on them. Iran at some point says, you know, we're not getting enough of a benefit out of this. We're going to restart our nuclear program. And of course, the more rightist elements of the Iranian government, the Revolutionary Guard and other hardliners, have wanted to do that for years. And this is just fuel to their fire. So I would expect that Iran will restart at least some portion of their nuclear program. And, you know, of course, we are also negotiating a new nuclear agreement, or we're negotiating a nuclear agreement with the Saudis, you know, who are pressing the edge of the envelope, trying to get more ability to do their own nuclear research so that they are in a position to start a nuclear weapons program as well. And if that's the reality, a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, then we're all in trouble.
Let's stay on international relations, or as we say in political science, IR, and ask you about the tariffs. What are the potential negatives on that?
Well, the negatives are, you know, obviously big for the American economy. You know, we are in a fragile period of growth, and if you start, you know, slapping tariffs on all sorts of goods going out and coming into the United States, that hurts middle-class Americans. In Connecticut, my state, you know, about 40% of our exports are to Europe, and so if Europe starts taxing the goods that are coming out of Connecticut.
Which they will, right? They have
which they will. Of course they will. Yeah, we're going to lose a lot of jobs. Listen, the trade imbalance is with China. And so the president isn't wrong to come after China. I've been frankly counseling Congress and the executive branch to get tough on China for a long time. And so he does it in kind of a haphazard way, but he's not fundamentally wrong to say it's time for China to pay some price. But we have a trade surplus with Canada. We have a really important trade balance with Europe. Upsetting those relationships economically and politically make no sense.
Now, you know, Chris Murphy, I only got 2 minutes here, but I wanted to ask you, I've been asking you all along when you were congressman and you said you were too young and all like that. Are you going to run for president?
I am not. I am not. Well, listen, first and foremost, I just have to get reelected. So I'm asking the people of Connecticut to send me back for another 6 years. And, you know, that's my focus right now entirely.
I've got a minute and I want to know, are we making progress on opioids?
No, not in any meaningful way. Connecticut will have more people dying this year potentially than last year or the year before. Congress has appropriated for the first time some emergency dollars, but it's not nearly enough. Maybe it's too tough to say we're making no progress because a lot of people are working really hard on this problem. But until Congress wakes up and starts getting tough with the drug companies, tough with the insurance companies, and appropriate tens of billions of dollars, not just a billion here or there, you're never going to get your arms wrapped around this absolute epidemic that is ravaging every corner of our state.
But it is growing exponentially, right? I mean,
we had 1,000 people die last year, 900 the year before, and we're putting more money in, more resources, and it's getting worse, not better. You know, my focus has been on prevention. I just think with 80% of these heroin addicts starting on prescription painkillers, you've got to shut off the flow of prescription pain medication, and we're just not doing that yet.
We always love talking to Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Senator, good luck on the election. We'll be talking to you again real soon. Thank you.
Great.